Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can take us on the go with that Odyssey app. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville and Eric Bickle, running the three-man show today. I believe Bish Bucks returns tomorrow. Been talking all about the Commanders' win. They're now 6-2. The Hail Mary was amazing. We're going to get back to it with our colleague check-in. Grant Paulson's going to join us coming up at 8:20. We also have Logan Paulson, former Washington tight end, co-host of the Take Command podcast. He's going to jump on at 9, but it was a huge day in the NFL. So let's go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by Offenbachers. Visit them in Herndon, Rockville, Gainesville, or Annapolis. They have a huge selection of hot tubs, swim spas, fire pits, pool tables, and outdoor furniture. And EB, for you, I will start with the little NFC East.
All right.
Playoff picture in a way. Commanders, of course, atop the division at 6-2. But a couple weeks ago, it was like the sky is falling for the Philadelphia Eagles, mm-hmm. and people were calling for Nick Sirianni's head, and everything was amiss in Philadelphia. They're just half came back of Washington at 5-2. Beat the Bengals pretty handily, 37-17. Jalen Hurts didn't have to pass the ball that much, only had 20 pass attempts. But he ran it in three times, and their difference maker, Saquon Barkley, ran for 108 yards, is having a great season.
Yeah, and he got Devontae Smith involved after he had a dud last week. He was like a missing person. I think he had one catch for like negative 2 yards. He led the team with 85 yards, found the end zone. Yeah, Barkley's been a revelation. Even though he didn't find the end zone, still goes for nearly 110 yards rushing. Only had one catch in the game, but yeah, I mean, if Hurts is going to score a bunch of rushing touchdowns, he scored three of them yesterday, and get the passing game back on track, that team could be dangerous.
Barkley's averaging 5.9 yards per carry on the season. He's running for 766 yards.
Ridiculous season.
I mean, we have to just stay medium, okay? Because we have to pull a Zorny. Mm-hmm. We have to stay medium. You know, Philly's a good team. We could lose to the we can't get ahead of ourselves.
Just giving you the NFC's picture. Yeah. The other part of it is the Cowboys. They fall to 3-4.
Right.
After losing to the Niners. Came back in the fourth quarter, scored 14 points in the fourth quarter, but lost 30-24. Dak Prescott, another two interception game. I believe that's three straight two interception games for Dak Prescott. And they just can't run the football. Zeke gave him 34 yards on the ground. Dalvin Cook. They have Dalvin Cook. He can get 12 yards.
They're trying to do whatever they can to
can't run
to manufacture a rushing attack, and that's kind of their identity. And they can't.
Meanwhile,
old Zeke, Rico Dowdle, they've been leaning on. He didn't play. Dalvin Cook. I mean, if you're expecting a lot out of him at this point, I think you're kind of clutching at straws.
Meanwhile, San Francisco ran for over 200 yards. Purdy was solid.
And
they're 4-4. If they get their guys back, they're still a big-time threat, I think, in the NFC.
Yeah, they rushed for over 220 yards, and that was with Jordan Mason going out with an injury. So they just plug in Isaac Garendo, and he goes for 14 carries, 85 yards, finds the end zone. Like they just have a stable of running backs that fit that system there in San Francisco.
Sticking with your NFC picture, Commanders right now have the second-best record in the NFC. The Lions look like they are just leaps and bounds better than everybody in the NFC, and they are just rolling right now. Jared Goff threw for, get this, they had 52 points. Mm-hmm. He threw for 85 yards. They didn't need it. He did have three touchdown passes.
Now, also, David Montgomery, they tossed the ball to him, and he throws one to Sam Laporta. That team, I know that EB, he's not a big fan of Ben Johnson, the nerd who just draws up plays. He may not be a leader of men, but he's a leader of a great offense.
That's true.
Well, they also have studs. Jahmyr Gibbs is a stud.
Yeah, the talent there is awesome.
He ran for 127 yards. We got the Amon-Ra touchdown. We didn't hit on our touchdown parlay.
Got lucky.
We only hit 2 out of 5.
He had 2 catches for 7 yards, but one of the two was a short touchdown.
Yeah, right. But they look to be a force.
And you know what?
In the NFC.
It's kind of crazy. They don't take the foot off the gas pedal until really late. Like, their starters were in, I think, when they were up like 42-14. Then eventually, you know, you put in the human victory cigar, Hendon Hooker, at that point. But they'll keep the starters in when they're up like 30 points. They don't care. They just want to keep scoring and just put their foot on your throat.
Let's move over to the AFC, where the Ravens had been rolling. They faced a Jameis Winston-led Cleveland Browns team, and he did bring life to that offense.
I mean, for sure. Almost threw it away.
Yes, he did.
I'm gonna steal your back padding machine.
Go ahead.
I've been saying for a month, how are they not turning to Jameis Winston? And I know that Jameis Winston is a roller coaster. I know he's going to make some mistakes, but you know what else he does? He pushes the ball downfield. And he gets everybody involved
in the offense. He doesn't care. He'll take any shot.
He gives zero Fs.
Yeah.
Hey, I take an L for this. When he came out of college,
yeah,
I thought he was going to be the next Peyton Manning. I think I was won over by him like in his Elite 11 or something like that.
Look, he's not going to become Peyton Manning, but he's a serviceable starting quarterback in the NFL.
And he's super fun to watch.
Yes. He is fun to watch.
He throws for 334 yards in the win. 27 for 41, three touchdown passes. Yes, throws the ball to Kyle Hamilton, who drops it. But then the next play, they don't go conservative. He goes for the jugular and gets into the end zone. They beat the Ravens 29-24. And he's a national treasure. He's just fun to listen to. This is Jameis postgame.
It's not often that you get another opportunity like you have just received in the NFL. What does it mean to lead these guys, and what could be the start of what you said is something special moving forward?
Man, it's a white boy from Detroit that I really admire named Eminem. He said, you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity lasts once in a lifetime. And I know I got a quote, you know, Eminem, he from Detroit, he right up the road, but man, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that the Lord provided me with this opportunity. I'm grateful for my teammates, my coaches, and these amazing fans.
Unbelievable performance.
So they get a home game. He is a national treasure. There's no doubt about it. They get the Chargers at home. Then they get a bye week. Then they're at the Saints. Like, I think they're out of it at 2-6, but at least he's providing life to just a pretty much dead offense.
Valdez, what was your takeaway from the game? How did the Ravens lose this one?
Well, the cards were stacked against them as soon as I saw Humphrey wasn't going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Their best cornerback, Wiggins, wasn't going to play.
I saw he was missing the trip. I was like, that's bad news.
Once I saw that, the writing was kind of on the wall. Mm-hmm. They've been skating by these teams with the great play of Lamar and Derrick Henry and penalties, and the leaky secondary bit him in the ass.
Henry only had 11 carries in the game. I guess the game plan got away from him in a way.
Well, this is also, I don't understand this, because you only have like 60-some plays on offense every single time, and you can't just be like, oh, they got to do more, they got to give the ball to Henry more, you got to give the ball to Zay Flowers more, you got to get this guy touches, you got to give Lamar his design runs. You only have 60-some plays in the game. I mean,
yeah, but don't you feel like Derrick Henry should have a minimum 18 carries per game?
No, not necessarily. It depends on how the game game's going. Trust me, the offense is not the problem with the Ravens. Defense is awful. I believe on third downs and seven or more, the defensive line is giving quarterbacks close to 3.96 seconds to throw.
Wow.
And that's the worst rush in the last 10 years in the NFL. So,
well, I'll tell you, has problems. The New York Jets.
Oh, massive problems.
They might be broken.
I mean, You can't lose to the just god awful Patriots.
To the backup, Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, it's
Brissett came in because Drake May was concussed. May barely played in the game. He had a rushing touchdown. He actually had three carries for 46 yards. Only threw the ball six times, but he gets concussed and's out of the game. And Brissett leads them on a game winning drive. Aaron Rodgers got everything he wanted. I mean, who knows if he had a good relationship with Salah or not, but they fire Robert Salah. They bring in Devontae Adams, and they just continue to lose.
And now they have to face the Texans on a short week. They play on Halloween. I mean, at 2-6, I just don't see them getting out of this death spiral. I don't see them recovering.
No. we talked about a team that needs to make a quarterback change. The Colts need to make a quarterback change to go back to Joe Flacco.
You've already given up on Anthony Richardson.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, I don't think he's very good, but I think there's something to work with.
He can throw a nice deep ball.
Yeah. He's a big, strong kid.
He's strong. He can run.
His deep ball is great.
But he can't complete 50% of his passes. When it's never been easier.
Exactly what he was in college?
Yes.
It was exactly this.
Yeah, I'm sitting there watching the games last night. He goes, what are you surprised? He was terrible in college. Mm-hmm. I mean, on the year, Joe Flacco came in there, and we understand he's not the future, but had 7 touchdowns and 1 pick. Anthony Richardson has 4 touchdowns, 7 picks. His QBR is 38.4. Yesterday, he goes 10 for 32, EB. And it's not even an outlier. It's like that every week.
And the schedule for them is brutal. Their next 4, they have 1 soft spot. They're at the Jets in the 3rd of these 4. Vikings, Bills, Jets, Lions. So if you're going to toss the keys to Flacco, now might be the time if you want to try to grasp at a wild card spot.
Just a couple other things to mention. Chiefs remain undefeated, beat up on the Raiders. Mm-hmm. Chiefs are 7-0. The Bills stomped the Seahawks 31-10. Josh Allen did throw his first interception of the season, but in the AFC, the Chiefs are rolling. The Bills are rolling. NFC picture, a couple teams that are interesting, and maybe I should mention the Chargers. They beat the Saints 26-8. They feel kind of like a sleepy team in a way, like they're winning games, but not buying in. But the NFC, just to get back to where the Commanders are, the Packers beat the Jags. With Malik Willis at the end of the game, Malik Willis has made some plays when he's filled in for Jordan Love. So they're 6-2 as well, EB.
Jordan Love goes out with a groin injury. Have to see how that progresses through the week.
And then you got to look at the Falcons, 5-3. Kirk goes 4 touchdowns, no picks.
Kirky.
On the year, Kirky's got 14 touchdowns, does have 7 picks. Wow. Baker's up to 21 touchdowns.
Kirk has good numbers. I'm really surprised by that.
Baker's got 21 TDs with only 9 picks, but he did throw 2 picks, and he's starting to throw, I think if you look at the last 3 or 4 games, he's starting to throw picks, so they dropped to 4-4.
I'll give him a little bit of a pass. I mean, he was without Mike Evans and Chris Godwin in this game.
And then the Cardinals, if you look at the NFC West, they're right there with San Francisco at 4-4. They get a win 28-27 against the Dolphins. Tua came back. Remember Tyreek Hill and his reaction to Tua coming back? Mm-hmm. Yes, he got 6 catches for 72 yards. Jalen Waddle, 4 catches. So their offense came to life, but they're in a big-time hole at 2-5.
Yeah, they're going to have a hard time
teams
getting out of that.
I know our preseason picks, a lot of us had the Jets in the playoffs, maybe winning the division. Mm-hmm. Some people even had the Dolphins in.
Both of those teams
are in big-time trouble.
Yeah.
2-5 and 2-6. So that's kind of your NFL picture. But when we come back, we're going to get back to the Commanders. On Mondays, we like to do our colleague check-in. We will talk to our pal Grant Paulson from the Grant and Danny Show next here on the Junkies on a Victory Monday. Brought to you by Chenega Mios, the 2024 Top Workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. We mentioned it before, but tomorrow, 9 a.m., Brian Robinson is going to join us.
Yes.
So we'd been having Jonathan Allen on the show really the last couple of years on Tuesdays, but after he got hurt, next man up, and it's B-Rob.
That's right. It's a big name.
So you don't want to miss it.
It's a good one.
All right, join us right now for our colleague check-ins, our pal Grant Paulson, co-host of the Grant and Danny Show. And you know, Grant, we often lament on this show that we've been doing it for 28, almost 29 years, and we've had very little success from this Commanders team. You guys have been doing it for a decade plus now at this point. This is the sweetest it's been, right?
Oh, unequivocally. Yeah, I was still on the beat for the 2012 year, and everyone forgets. You know, that's the year everyone points to as the last time it was really exciting. They were 3-6
to
start
quit.
That season.
Remember, he gave up on the team.
Exactly right. Yeah, we're going to start evaluating for next year, is what he said.
Yep.
And then they ripped off the 7 in a row. But yeah, this is not only as good as it's been at this point. I mean, you got to go back to 2008 when they started this well, and even that was kind of a house of cards. You talk to any of the players that were on that Jim Zorn team, and they're like, how are we doing this? This guy, really? We're 6-2 with him? It's just a different ball game altogether. The fact that you've got not only year one of a new regime, but the entire organization feeling different without Snyder, with a front office that's building something meaningful and impactful for the future, not just right now. And then obviously, I think in that building, they feel like they got the quarterback they've been looking for a long time.
Grant, set the scene for us in the press box. We took some calls earlier about how people reacted in the stadium or in their basements watching the game. I mean, at my house, it was pandemonium. But, like, in the press box, you're supposed to have some decorum and, you know, right, not have outbursts, you know, for if the home team does well or wins. We know you're a Commanders guy. What was that like for you trying to stifle that in? How did that play out in the press box for you?
I'm not doing a tough guy bit. Like, I didn't react at all because I was stunned. Mm-hmm. I was shocked. I was just kind of looking around
right,
silently. That was my, you know, you don't know how you're going to react to situations until they happen. Mm-hmm. That was mine. But I tweeted something to this effect, Cakes, but so I've been in that press box since 1999 for almost every single home game, okay? And I've never seen a moment like that where everyone's kind of packing their stuff up. Some people have already kind of started walking down the stairs or whatever, but 95% of the people are still in their seat in some way, half paying attention. And so the final play, you kind of lock in, you see, you just go through the motions, like, okay, he's going to throw it to the end zone. And the reaction was that of, like, the crowd in section 313. Not cheering, per se, but just like, oh, you know, this loud scream, oh, my God.
Well, just screwed everybody's story.
Oh, my. Well, not only that, everyone is completely screwed, no doubt about that. But they're, like, grabbing the people next to them. People are, like, turning around, like, hands on head. I mean, it was just a wild scene. I've never experienced anything like it. That was the loudest pop, I'm calling it, in the stadium that I've ever seen, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, single moment, like the music hits at the Royal Rumble, the glass shatters for Stone Cold, and that pop of the crowd. Like, that moment of that catch, if there was a roof, it would have blown off. It was just an amazing moment. I think it was 30-plus years of that play not working for them, that not happening for them. We've seen it go the other way against them from time to time. Right, I remember Jameis Winston completing one of those passes against them for a touchdown at one point in time. But
well,
man, oh man, was it quite a to be there was awesome. I will say,
yeah, it's a little poetic justice too. And I think it also, I've been trying to make this point all morning that if it's accurate, when I searched it last night, these things happen at like a 1 in 12. It's like an 8-9% clip, like Hail Mary's successor, a little higher than you imagine. In fact, they had even hyped up during the broadcast Caleb's, you know, win at Gonzaga over DeMatha on a Hail Mary, a little poetic justice there if you're a Stag. I don't know, like, we should be more prepared for these, like, as fans. They've eliminated the onside kick, right? They've taken it out. It's not, it's a 1 in a million shot. These Hail Marys actually happen a little more than people realize.
Well, when I'll say this. I think I can think of two this year. Rodgers had one earlier this year and this one, and there have been, I'm sure, dozens attempted. Mm-hmm. So the percentage is not high. But to your point, when they are executed, like, what's funny about that is it looked easy. You know what I'm saying? Like, when it's done correctly, you go, how does that not work,
Grant,
more?
I'm telling you, if you Google it, if Google is correct, they say it's 1 in 12 over the last 10 years, which is like 8 or 9%.
Yeah, that is,
it's
pretty
crazy.
Shocking.
It's way higher than we realize. And that's why if you're Tyreek Stevenson or whatever the guy's name is, mm-hmm, you can't have your back turned to the play for the first 5 seconds
Whoa.
Of it.
Idiotic.
Oh, well, what a clown shoe that guy
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
I mean, not only was, you know, in football, this is going to happen, but he and Terry are going back and forth and shouting at each other. But, I mean, he had completely decided the game was over before the final play, which is hysterical. Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I would just add this color from talking to some of the guys yesterday. Like, they actually ran a play. I mean, I think people right. think it was just a throw it down there and see what happens. Now, they don't draw it up to that effect, but the idea of that play is Noah Brown is behind a body of people and you're looking for a tip that eventually he can go athletically rebound, and it worked out. So it was less like, I think, backyard ball than you think. And the key to the play, obviously, was the kid, Jaden Daniels, running around for 12.7 seconds to buy them the time, not only to get down the field, but for everybody to park. And when everyone's standing there, now you're just doing that backyard, like playing 500 with your friends, and there's a much better chance than guys trying to get down there as you're heaving it.
Hey, Grant, my second favorite play of the game was when Shane Waldron was on the one, and he said, you know what? I'm not going to give the ball to DeAndre Swift. I'm not even going to give it to Roschon Johnson to get in from the one. I'm going to hand the ball to Doug Kramer Jr., who wears number 68. I think that's a good play, and he promptly just coughs the ball right up to the Commanders. I mean, I was slapping my knee. I think my knees are still red from that one.
What a goose.
Yeah.
I mean, really, think about it. They had a bye week coming into this game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He had 2 weeks to draw that one up,
right.
That fullback dive to a lineman. Here's how I need coordinators, play callers, to operate at the goal line. Is there a fat guy wearing a number in the 60s who looks like me? If the answer is yes, let's not hand him the ball and ask him to plow through anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't believe that. They have, think about the weapons on this team. They have DJ Moore. Keenan Allen is one of the great goal line red zone receivers of his era. They have Roma Dunze, who they just drafted in the top 10. In the backfield, they're three deep. They've got a pass-catching back. Your plan is some dude wearing a number in the 60s, getting the ball, when everyone is piled up for a shoving match, and he's going to make some people miss? I mean, what are you doing? That was absolutely ridiculous.
Insanity.
You mentioned the defense there a little bit, and I have to say, I said it to Keim earlier, I kind of been tweeting about it the last day or two. I gave up on the defense. I gave up on the defense at about the first quarter of week one. I was like, oh, wow, it's going to be one of those years. And I've just been stunned at their turnaround. All the credit in the world to Joe Witt and Dan Quinn, all those guys back there. They kind of figured out whatever it is that they're doing. They seem to be filling their gaps better, whatever the hell it is, the jargon. They're tackling. They're playing physical. I mean, Frankie Louvu. People said, you're going to love Frankie Louvu. And I was like, yeah, okay. No, we love Frankie Louvu.
Yep.
Me, 100% we love him. I don't know. I actually am just kind of stunned at the turnaround.
It's been pretty significant. I think a lot of people wanted to dismiss it outright because Carolina stinks.
Yeah.
Because Deshaun Watson was unserious. Like, it was just a bad couple of teams. And when they last played a good offense in Baltimore, they got worked again. But they're clearly way better than they were, to your point, at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Like, anyone who was here remembers the Tampa game when they gave up 37, or even the Cincy game when they gave up the 33. I mean, it was just how many times is the other team can have the ball? That's how many times they're going to score, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not that anymore. You know, at corner, I think they've gotten a lot better. The changes they've made where Noah Igbinoghene is playing the slot and they kick Sanders still is really more of a nickel outside. I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's better than it was. That was a really savvy adjustment, kind of making the most with what you've got. Benjamin St. Juste is ultra competitive and has really good moments. He had the PI, he gets handsy. I understand that with him, he's a corner two, basically moonlighting as a corner one, and it's not always going to be clean. Having said that, he is a willing, physical, lengthy guy.
I like him.
Saw him on the 4th-and-1 blow a play up. Like, he does some good things. So I think at that position where they really need help, and if at the trade deadline they want to target something, they could probably really use another body. They've gotten better, and it's fueled the whole thing. The other thing is, EB, how about their pass rush?
Right.
Now, it hadn't been great. I'm not suggesting it has, but I thought it was really good yesterday. They moved Caleb all over the place, off his mark constantly. Fowler's come on big time the last few weeks. I think Dorrance Armstrong coming back. Now, Cleveland Farrell flashes. It's not – they don't have a guy. They don't have anybody who's going to go get 13, 14 sacks. But it's also not as inept as it was in the first few weeks. And I think the combination of those two things give you a chance to play probably middle-of-the-pack defense. If you can do that with this offense, you're going to win a lot of games. And they've won 6 of their last 7 now.
Talking to our pal Grant Paulson from the Grant and Danny Show. You can listen to every day at 2.
It's hard to imagine. He's right. We've won 6 of our last 7.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good streak.
It's kind of hard to process that.
Yep. 6-2.
Yeah.
Second best record in the NFC. Grant, I saw one of your tweets, and it made me think that for years, Cakes and I did a post-game show or pre-game show, and we would show up at Glory Days or wherever we were doing the show from, and you'd see just a couple of jerseys, and usually it would be Chris Cooley. Or it might be
Riggins.
It would be an old school jersey,
like old
right?
Jerseys.
And you took a picture of three guys walking out with their Jaden Daniels jerseys, right?
Oh yeah, tags hanging out the back.
Yeah,
by the way,
love it.
They
love
had like that. You know when you go to a store and you get like whatever that like I always call it a Food Lion bag. That's not what it is, but that like plastic bag that you know they put your jersey in. So they're carrying those in their hands. They got the tags still dangling down their back from the jersey, and they had pristine brand new fives. It was four guys all. It was like I was like, these guys all came in Jaden Daniels jerseys, and I realized when I get past me, no, they just bought them. So they go straight from watching the Hail Mary hugging strangers to the team store to stand in line for their jersey. Which brings me to this, guys. Danny and I have been talking about this, but I want to bounce this off of you. I don't think the name's changing.
I don't think so either.
I've said that for a couple years.
I'm the lone guy.
I got like a $100 bet with Cakes. So I've said it for years.
I don't hate it as much as Danny because I know Danny's like life mission is for them to change the name.
But I'm
not that far behind because I think the name's terrible, but it's definitely on the way back burner.
It's terrible. Everyone agrees. Yeah. It blows. But if you win, no one cares.
Right.
So, and that's kind of my thing. So I was EB before this season. I don't want to say adamant, but I was very confident because they knew. They were doing research, and they realized nobody likes this name or very few people. Mm-hmm. In fact, the people that like the name are going to like whatever the next name is. You could name him the EBs, and those same guys would get the EB T-shirts and be there tailgating, at 10 a.m. on a Sunday. And so I thought, well, eventually they're just going to change this thing, assuming they don't have a year where they're good. But when you have moments like that, like what just happened, when you're 6-2, with each of these wins, and by the way, the jersey purchases, and you're all over Sunday Night Football, and the Commanders are the talk of the league.
Yeah, you get used to it.
It's not going to change.
It's solidifying a bad brand is what it is.
Listen, and look, we had a caller, and I know it's a hashtag, but we had a caller earlier go, HTTC, hail to the city. Like, it's becoming a thing.
Right. I'll say this too, in the parking lot last night walking out, and it was such a cool scene, guys. I mean, you would have had a blast. It was just, that euphoric feeling of everyone just high-fiving strangers, right?
Yeah.
But everyone's, I'm not kidding, if I saw five groups of people like reenacting the final play or yelling about what happened, I saw 50. I mean, it was just that kind of, no one wanted to go home. But what's funny is a couple different listeners as I'm walking to my car yell, left hand up. And it's like, I get to my car and I'm like, this stupid name is going to be here forever.
Look, when they win like that, I've said this for years, winning cures all.
You don't even care about the stadium.
So you're going to hear people not complaining about the stadium, the traffic, the team name, all that stuff goes away. People just want to be part of the winning.
Well, did you guys hear about last week the cable that fell down?
Yes.
So, I mean, the symbolism of that to me is everything. Like, literally the cable falls down, and I'm watching. I'm in the second row of the box, and all the writers and the people that cover the team are, like, starting to type into Twitter or whatever, like, a cable has fallen at this stadium. And as this is happening, Dante Fowler's pick six occurs, literally. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, it's like, well no one cares about
anymore.
This. Dante Fowler, pick six. Washington takes 7-0 lead. And that to me was everything where I'm like, in a normal year, the Panthers score on that moment.
Yeah.
And now everyone's mad. And instead, they're jumping up and down with the cable over their head gleefully, waiting for someone to come fix it as they're 7-0 leaders on their way to 5-2.
Well, Grant, tell Danny to enjoy it. Sometimes he's a tortured soul. We're all tortured souls to an extent. Enjoy the run. Winning is awesome. We're not going to get many from the Wizards. The Caps are improved. The Nationals, it's been a long rebuild. It's been a long time. Enjoy this in the moment.
It. We're all embracing it. How can you not?
Yeah, this is a blast. Yeah. There's no doubt. Danny, I have not talked to him yet. I look forward to seeing him today. But his Twitter yesterday the whole time was like, impending doom. Can't wait for the gut punch. Yeah. There it is. It's over. Yeah. My life is over. Yeah. And then he was like, I take everything back.
it's pretty special. And honestly, people calling in crying.
I know. People are very emotional.
This is what it used to be like, Grant. I know you're younger, but I'm sure your parents remember. I mean, you might even remember when you were little.
No. My earliest memories, EB, are like Richie Pettibone.
not good.
Early Norville Eugene. Yeah, I have no file on this.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
See you, fellas.
Thanks, right. Jeeps.
We did our first remote from Pettibones in Oakton, Virginia.
Many, many moons ago.
Yep. All right. Hey, it's good to hear you from Grant Paulson. It's a big Paulson day. We've got Logan Paulson joining us at 9. He's one of the best at breaking down the film. Of course, he is the co-host of the Take Command podcast. He will join us at 9 o'clock here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. on a Victory Monday brought to you by Chiniga Mios, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. We'll talk to Logan Paulson, former Washington tight end, co-host of the Take Command podcast, coming up at 9 o'clock. But incredible win. Commanders are 6-2. Mm-hmm. We're basking that. It also was a side-by-side of the number one pick,
yep,
Caleb Williams, and the number two pick, Jaden Daniels. Jaden has taken the league by storm. Now, he doesn't have gaudy passing touchdown numbers, but the team is 6-2. Caleb Williams had been playing better. He just had a four touchdown game, right?
He did. That was against Jacksonville.
And then in the first half of the game, he had three completions.
Mm-hmm.
He was really
through
frustrated.
Through three quarters, he passed for 36 yards.
They did 36. A great job, like, spying him and all that. You know, yeah. I mean, I know it's a standard thing when you got a mobile quarterback, but they were executing defensively extremely well.
I couldn't tell if some of the pressures and sacks when he was kind of holding onto the ball, and was it that guys weren't open, or he's just not pulling the trigger, or what? Now, he didn't throw any interceptions, and in the fourth quarter, he made some plays. He had the one out of the pocket.
He was really good in the fourth quarter.
He had the one out of the pocket where he hit Keenan Allen. Then he had a really nice throw in a cover two situation to DJ Moore. He had a, you know, a sidearm sling, which you're like, okay, that's kind of Patrick Mahomes-like.
No, he had some really
nice stuff.
But I
expected more consistency out of him. Like those, it was very, you know, he had spurts, but through, you just can't let your team get down. Now, he was lucky that the Commanders were kind of like sputtering in the red zone and weren't turning those opportunities into touchdowns, because they would have been down like 21-0 or 24-0.
Sure.
He was lucky that that was the case. I expected to see more out of him.
He looked shaky to me.
Yeah.
Like,
he looked exactly
we always talk
like
about Jaden Daniels, his demeanor when he's doing an interview.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how he plays. It's just calm and steady.
He's the coolest cat in the league.
Yes. And I don't know if it was the pressure of being home. Caleb looked
shaky. You know what else? It was also the pressure of not playing the Jags or the Panthers in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because he's had a real uptick in his production by facing those teams. Look what Bo Nix did to the Panthers yesterday. Now, he's been ascending a little bit, but the Panthers are the get-right opponent for everybody, as right. are the Jaguars.
But I will
say
this.
Not a big surprise that Caleb Williams looked really good against those two teams.
I'm no huge Caleb Williams guy. I don't care either way. I hope he has a long career. But I'm not passionate about him at all. I'm definitely not like super rooting for him, but I hope he has a great career for his sake. In his defense, and I thought he was mediocre in the first half and plus, he did come alive when the game was on the line.
Right.
So I don't think the moment was too big for him.
No, but like,
he did come alive when the game
was on the line. Shouldn't he come alive in the first quarter? Like, why does it?
He's not that good yet.
Why does it have to be in like late in the third quarter into the fourth?
Because
like,
he's not as.
And also the defense. You credit the defense there too. Like, the defense was
true.
Moving him off the spots where he wanted to be.
But he's not, for example, as accurate. He's not as polished accuracy-wise as Jaden.
He also doesn't have the benefit of Cliff Kingsbury. Like, we've complimented
Shane Waldron. Shane Waldron, yeah.
But we've complimented Cliff Kingsbury and how he has helped Jaden. Now, Jaden's great.
Mm-hmm.
But Cliff Kingsbury has certainly accentuated the positives in Jaden Daniels, and they found this offense, which is balanced, and at one point they had the number one scoring team in the league, right? I think Detroit's overtaken them.
Mm-hmm.
Shane Waldron, all we're hearing now, Drab knows him the most because he was with Seattle. All we're doing is goofing on him. He's got an offensive coordinator that we're goofing on.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
like, I'm sure that doesn't help.
Caleb Williams has obviously clout and power in that building. So if he hates Shane Waldron, he's going to let it be known to the powers that be, hey, I'm not a big fan of this guy that you've hired to be the offensive coordinator. So maybe he forces their hand as far as going out and getting somebody he's comfortable with.
Is he publicly been taking
a
shot?
No, I don't think there's any sort of hatred. I'm just saying that we're goofing on Shane Waldron for the running play to the big fat offensive lineman.
Right.
To me, on the first down call of fade, when you got first and goal from the one, on a with 30 seconds left in the game, and then they handed off the next time and got the touchdown, right? But like, why throw the fade? Even, you know, the announcers Romo and Nance were wondering why. What are they doing?
I never really liked the fade, to be honest.
But
with
also,
you,
like,
that.
What are you doing? Time and clock situation. Like, why were they running that play? I'm curious.
I'm just throwing this out there. I think they ran that play because they were willing to trade it down for like 4 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not running the ball. The defense can let you score, but throwing a fade and not taking a knee, you're not losing yardage, and you're kind of killing 4 seconds off the clock. I think they were willing to trade it down for 4 seconds.
It's possible.
You mean they were assuming they were going to score?
They assumed that they were going to score.
Well, and then if you throw it out of bounds, for sure. Not throw it in a position where it potentially could get picked off.
It didn't really. It was not. It wasn't a good throw. It never had a chance of being successful.
Yeah, that had never had a chance. I really think they were willing to trade it down for 4 seconds.
And by the way, this happened in the Seattle game. Geno Smith dropped back. I think it was close to the goal line. Drab, you can test this. You can trip over your center and like fall down and lose yardage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just saying that might be a contributing factor. Look, I think Caleb Williams, he was my number one on the board when we did our boards. I had Drake May 2. I had Jaden 3. I think Caleb has shown flashes in games where he can be really good. He didn't show much of it yesterday. And just the side-by-side, Jaden looked much more poised, comfortable, and better.
Back padding machine. Can I get my board? Can we just or get an image of the boards? Mm-hmm. Just kind of remind people who had JD 1. How many guys in here had JD 1?
I think I had him 2. I think I was
you.
I think I was a Caleb guy.
Who won before?
Which guy? What's his name?
Eric Carlton Bickle.
Thank you.
We thought you had JJ McCarthy.
Nope. Not on my board. Oh, look at my board.
He did the usual.
He might have been in my
top 2 or
3.
He did the usual thing where he covered his bases, but ultimately did have Jaden Daniels.
No. I was waffling a few weeks before. And I was like, I don't know, Jaden. I like Jaden, but I'm nervous about him getting hurt. Maybe JJ's a safer pick. Maybe I would do that. I did waffle like that.
Turns out JJ got hurt.
JJ.
And Jaden.
But when push came to shove, and we'd have our board, there's one guy in here. At number 5.
Good for you.
Number 1. Look at this. I'm on a heater lately. Steak King said that Jaden was going to play.
Said Jamin Davis was going to turn into Micah Parsons.
No.
How about
never
you
said
advertise
that.
Some L's?
Never said that. I said they were going to try him in that role, and maybe he could be a poor man's. Turns out that one didn't hit. That one didn't hit.
Everybody's got hits and misses.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I think it's safe to say this year, Jaden Daniels is better than Caleb Williams. Oh,
it's not even close.
I don't
maybe
see
Caleb will become better down the road.
Why? How could he be better? I mean, maybe if he gets more accurate. I mean,
Josh Allen got a lot better.
Players improve all the time.
He could develop. He could
take a look at Josh Allen's rookie season.
I just don't see how. In other words, I'm not saying how could a person get better. How could he get better than Jaden? Because Jaden's going to get better too. So that's my point. So how's he going to get better than Jaden?
No, that's not necessarily. A career arc isn't linear. I mean, this could be Jaden for all of Jaden. Like, Jaden could just be this plateau, and Caleb could get better.
Okay.
I'm just saying that's.
I'll bet against it. This is Jaden's plateau.
I would bet against it too, but it's a pretty good plateau.
Plateau, but just assuming. Just assuming everyone's career arc is linear is
I'm not assuming anyone's is linear. I'm just saying I think my guy's better. I don't see a scenario where Caleb overtakes him. I think Caleb might be, at times, more exciting with all his running backwards 100 yards and then making a throw. He likes to run backwards a lot. I guess that's it.
He does, but if he gets a dodge a bunch of defenders.
There's so many factors, like... All right, Caleb has more touchdown passes than Jaden right now.
Right.
And let's say he gets a better offensive line. Let's say he gets that better offensive coordinator. Like, there's so many things that could happen. I think he certainly has an immense amount of talent. You see that with some of those plays. And it's not like yesterday, I would say he kind of played bad. I don't know what his QBR is and his quarterback rating.
His QBR was 36.
Yeah.
His rating was 59.
Yeah. I figured it couldn't be very good.
He did come to life with the game on the line. I will say that. Yeah. He came to life with the game on the line. I mean, it shows there is talent there.
There's not as the most not impressive as much things. As Jaden did when the game was on the line.
One of the most impressive things about
Jaden.
I don't think any of us could have predicted this. basically halfway through the season. All right, 17 games, so they've played 8. He only has 2 picks. You figure a rookie quarterback would throw more interceptions.
He takes great care of the ball. And part of that is they run the ball a ton, so he's not throwing the ball as much. But, hey, credit him when he does throw it. He's not throwing it to the other team.
Now, I don't think quarterbacks throw as many picks as they used to. Mm-hmm. When you look around the league, there's a bunch of guys.
Well, it's a shorter passing game.
I feel like Justin Herbert only has 1 interception. I think Josh Allen only has 1 interception.
They don't major in deep throws or longer throws. They major in short throws.
They've made the passing game easier, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't hit receivers like you used to. Can't crush them. Can't touch the quarterback. I get it. But Jaden takes care of the football, and he did that at LSU, right?
He did. Well, I think his last season was 40-4 or something.
I mean,
like
that's incredible.
I mean, something crazy.
It's incredible. All right, coming up next, we'll get some insight from Logan Paulson, former Washington tight end, co-host of the Take Command podcast. It is a Victory Monday brought to you by Chenega Miles, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com.